Greetings. These are the chronicles of one man's adventures and misadventures in Asia. I am Kokujin. In Episode 3, Tales of Thailand, with special guest host, Brother Mao Zone. Thank you for downloading. Welcome back, loyal listeners, and welcome to new listeners. The news from my little corner of the globe is that the English program in Korea, which is a government-run and operated native English teacher recruitment program, began accepting applications on April 1st. And I have been working diligently and quite hard to gather all the necessary records and write up the required commentary to get that submitted. I will have that into them in the next week. One of my readers from my Facebook page also suggested that I apply to the JET program, which is the Japanese English Teacher Recruitment Scheme, and I would dearly love to do so. JET is a wonderful program, and I would love to be a part of it, but apparently I am too old for them. I guess they don't want any old dogs like me running around the country, so the cutoff age for the EPIC program, the English program in Korea, is substantially higher. So, as I always say on the website, get in where you fit in. I'll be applying to Korea just as soon as I can gather all the necessary materials. I had a large and pleasant surprise through Facebook. I forwarded to one of my friends who's since moved back to the Philippines a link to the first episode, and he sent it over to a friend of his who was presently living in Japan. And that friend very graciously, very generously offered me assistance with accommodations should I ever make it over to his part of Japan. So yes, I was quite surprised, quite pleasantly surprised. And if the situation arises and circumstances permit, I will definitely take him up on that and try to bring a large bottle of sake with me by way of thanks. Speaking of the Facebook page, I hope and trust by now that all my loyal listeners are aware that there is a Facebook page, there is a Twitter stream, and there is a WordPress blog where your comments are quite welcome. Your rants, your raves, and your commentary are in fact necessary so that I can tailor and customize and aim this show in the way that is going to be most meaningful to you. So by all means, take advantage of one of those to send some feedback my way. And if you don't wish to place it up there publicly, you can send it to me directly via email at kokujin.chronicles@gmail.com. And thank you very much in advance. Brother Mao Zone had so much fun last episode on the show that he decided that he was going to host the show this time. I tried to argue him out of it, but he put me in a headlock and I submitted. So I am now turning control of the microphone over to Brother Mao Zone.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good to see you, Brother Kokujin. What's been happening?
It's all good. I'm just trying to survive, trying to thrive a little bit if I can.
Excellent, excellent. Good to see you, Brother Kokujin, once again.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. Like I said, you have an open invitation, and I'm quite sure that the one or two listeners I have out there will agree with me that we really need to get you onto your own show, but I'm happy to have you on mine until I can convince you otherwise.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate that. Well, you know, you're a good brother, so if I can piggyback on you for a while, what the heck, you know.
All right.
We're both trying to elevate our minds, elevate our people, make this a more just society. And I understand, you know, we're looking here in America and a lot of changes are happening. However, we also recognize that the world is getting smaller and smaller each and every day.
Yeah.
And I think the one of the most important things we need to do is travel more and more.
Yeah.
I just had an opportunity a few years ago to go to Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited to go to Morocco, and I share some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, you know, and my experience with you, I know you went to Indonesia a while back.
Not true. I went to Bangkok, Thailand. Country next door.
Bangkok, Thailand.
Yeah. You're in the area, though.
Oh, all right. I'm close.
You were close.
Bangkok, Thailand.
Yes.
Man, that seems even more exciting.
Well,
I'm really, really looking forward to hearing about that trip over there.
Well, I've put off talking about it because I had to process it. You know, you've traveled, I traveled, and we like to think that we're fairly worldly men. You know, we can parachute into some strange city or some strange town. We're going to get by. We've been up to this city. We took the bus over to Ocean Shores and figured out where the stores were, figured out where the barbecue joint was, figured out where the haircut shop was. And, you know, we think we can just stroll on in and we can handle it. I beg to differ. Bangkok overwhelmed me. And I thought I was going to be good, but yeah, it got me good. And when I landed at night. Okay. It was a 17-hour flight from Seattle through Japan, change planes in Tokyo, and then fly into Bangkok. So, and I left on first week of November. So I get there, and as soon as I get off the plane, it's like 85 degrees at 3 in the morning.
In November, huh?
Oh, yes. It's 3 in the morning, and it's 85 degrees still.
All right.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm a bit overdressed. Let me lose a sweater and loosen the tie because it's not, yeah, I got to get comfortable. And so right away I knew, you know, okay, it's going to be warm. Let's see what else is happening. So I'm walking around and we passed through the outside before we walked into the main terminal. And I smell this smell. It smells like flowers out here. And it was jasmine. Which, or at least that's what it smelled like. I don't know if it was actually was jasmine, but it was like the entire city was perfumed with jasmine, you know. And it's like you can. It's not overpowering, and you can put it in the back of your mind, but it's there, and it's working on you. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm still a little jet lagged. I'm still a little tired. I'm like, okay, smells nice. Let me call my cab, get my butt over to my guest house so I can rest up. So I can go exploring tomorrow,
right,
and take full advantage of all this. So saw the sign that said taxi cabs here. And I walked out to talk to the taxi cab dispatcher. Look, you and I have both known some pretty ladies over the years. And we've both seen a couple exceptional ones over the years. But this one was a 9.9. Easily.
Right.
I'm like, oh, you know. So I turned on my little iota of charm for just a moment, just to see. Nice lady. You know, usually in America, they may look good, but they kind of have all the personality of a naked grape. Because they don't need to be nice, and they don't need a personality because, you know, in America,
everybody's after them, huh?
They'll find a sucker somewhere who'll do whatever they want. But that's because it's so rare here. I think. Well, over there, nines and tens are by the dozen. It's not unusual. And because they're not a rarity, it's my opinion and my you know, my layman's analysis. But because they're so ubiquitous, they actually have to be nice. And they actually have to develop some intelligence and a personality to go with it. Because I tell you, the next morning I got up, I headed out, brought my computer in my backpack, and I went looking for something familiar. You know, I had checked in the night before, and the old retired Thai Army colonel who's running the guest house, he had his pictures up on the wall of him and, you know, him getting his from the king. They have a king over there.
All right.
And never say anything bad about the king, because that's a federal... Don't do it.
Right.
Respect the king.
Respect
period,
the king.
Point blank.
Right.
Don't say anything disrespectful against the monarchy. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get back to your country, say whatever you want. But when you're over there, you're guesting their house, you better recognize.
All right.
So the next day, you know, the colonel checked me in. Oh, here's your room. I had a lizard in my room. But I was, you know, lizards all over the place. And I was glad he was there because he was eating the cockroaches and mosquitoes.
All right.
I was cool with that. And it was so dang hot in that room, I actually had to learn how to sleep with the air conditioner running, which I normally don't do because I can't sleep with noise in the room. But yeah, it was that warm.
So you said you were in a guest house or a hotel?
Well, no, it was a guest. Well, It wasn't a hotel. Mm-hmm. It was a guest house slash hotel.
All right.
Okay, you check in for a month. And I had a I had a bedroom. I had a TV. Got three channels, BBC Thailand and a couple other ones.
So they had an English channel? They had an English channel?
Yeah. Was it English? Yeah, I guess it was English.
All right.
This was BBC. I had a kitchen, but I never cooked anything in there because, trust me, you get out just looking at the stove. I was like,
Right.
So, you know, next morning, there was a little 7-Eleven down the street from me. So I bought my couple liters of water, brought those back to the guest house, and found this local Starbucks, which was right at the entrance to the underground train that would take me to my destination. And you know, coffee's coffee, Starbucks is Starbucks. Apparently, wherever you go in the world, a Starbucks will have pictures of the community that look just like the ones in your community back home.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. All right. So that formula works, and I guess that's why Howard Schultz is a millionaire and I'm not. But okay, so the next day, you know, I'm walking around and it still smells like jasmine.
Hmm.
And I got on the train and I went downtown to my destination, and beautiful women everywhere.
Hmm.
Right? And these are not, you know, I mean, I guess the popular misconception of Thailand is all hookers, huggers, muggers, and thieves. It's not. These are just normal, you know, normal going to school ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, apparently, I'm sure there were some. I didn't see any. I'm sure there were some fat ladies. I didn't see them. I'm sure there's some ugly ones. I didn't see them either. I mean, they're all dressed up. This is the weekend, mind you. They're all dressed up like, hey, I'm going to work. They had on their suits.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their notebooks. And they were out taking care of business.
And this is on the weekend, huh?
Oh, yes.
All right.
So, you know, it was like that.
You're listening to a Coco Jean Chronicles podcast. You can post your comments and read the show notes at cocojeanchronicles.wordpress.com.
My particular destination was around the corner from where all that civil unrest happened a few months after I got back. So, you know, you remember last summer they were shooting the place up and mm-hmm. protesting and burning tires. And, you know,
what was the main thing they were protesting?
Some kind of dispute with the government.
All right.
I'm not Thai.
They weren't against the king, were they?
Like I said, I seriously doubt it.
Oh, all right.
I'm not fully up on Thai politics. All I could make sense of was it's red shirts against the yellow shirts, and that argument has been going on for years. So
right.
I stayed out of it, which was good because for some reason, I saw this guy a few months after I got back. He's an Australian guy. Right now, normally you go into somebody's house as a guest. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
What do you do? You greet them and offer some food, or
no? You're the guest. You're in their house.
All right.
What are your obligations?
My obligations are to just be polite.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So I got back and I'm reading about, you know, checking the BBC and whatnot, watching all these stories about what's going on in Thailand, and this Australian guy is joining the protesters and going on doing interviews, right? Mm. Now, first of all, you know, and I'm quite sure that, you know, maybe he actually felt compelled to throw his voice and his weight behind it,
mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a good guest.
Mm.
And they eventually found him, locked him up, and then kicked him out of the country. They let him go after 3 months. They had him in jail. They let him go. And he was just mouthing all the way to the airport. Oh, they abused me, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude.
Right.
Where did you think you were?
Right.
You were not back
you
in
were
Sydney.
A guest. You were a guest.
You were a guest in their country. The best thing you can do is let them handle their politics and you handle your business and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to do that. But I didn't know. I was a guest and I knew it. So anyway, I'm seeing all these beautiful women and I'm smelling this perfume and I'm like, man, I got to be cool because I'm here on a mission. I got things to take care of.
Right.
And the school where I was at, first of all, Starbucks, there are three Starbucks right around the corner from us. Okay. The main hooker area, because mm-hmm. there was one.
All right.
was around the corner from my school.
Hmm.
Okay. So to get there, Look, to go and pass by it, because I wasn't buying anything except food. So to get to go past it, in the morning, I would pass all of these street vendors who are on the job at like 3-4 in the morning, and they would take whatever corner they could take. For instance, at my guest house, you know, I was not in a well-to-do part of town. In fact, that was one of the things that really struck me is, you know, here where we live, there's generally a buffer zone between the very well-off areas and the very poor areas. There's some kind of transitional area. There's some kind of, you know, you have to pass barriers and fences, and the change is more or less gradual. No.
Not there. Huh?
Where I was.
You don't see the manicured lawns or nicer roads, whatever else.
No, it was straight. You would literally have homeless, broke down, been living on the street homeless for years in the shadow of these multi-million dollar skyscrapers.
Oh.
On my block, there was some kind of, there was a taxi dispatch stand. And maybe that was it, because it's like zoning. You know, you have your residential area, your business area, your mixed use area.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they don't do that over there.
All right.
It's just get in where you fit in.
Right.
So I had this taxi dispatch stand and a 7-Eleven, and literally a few hundred feet from that was the German embassy or the German consulate right there, you know. And then just down the street from him was this very, apparently very posh private school, because every morning when I pass by, I see all these Mercedes and BMWs pulling in, dropping off the kids, and the guard was out front and, you know, saluting and waving traffic. And this is all within, literally within rock throwing distance. You could throw a rock from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich. And it was just mixed up like that. Fine restaurants next to 7-Eleven. Next to some other activity happening.
Right.
So that was a little disconcerting. And, you know, I'm seeing all this and seeing the wretched of the earth and the fineness and going back and forth. I'm like, the school where I was at was noisy as I don't know what, because it was a main road and the trains, the above ground train is right there. The connecting trains pass right by. It was the main stroll where the tourists go through, and it was just like 24/7 activity. So in the morning, when I was going to school, I'd see the morning shift of vendors, and they were selling, you know, you could get a bag of chopped up fruit, gorgeous fruit. You know, we go down to the Wajimaya store, and we see all these weird things. They're like, what the hell is that? But we never buy one. That's all they would sell. You'd have some dragon fruit and some star fruit and pineapple, and that was about all I recognized, because after that, it started getting exotic and strange.
Right.
But you could go up to one of these vendors, and he'd cut up some fruit for you right there on the spot, put it in the bag, and put some sugar and red pepper mixed together, a little powder, give you your bag with a toothpick to eat it with, and you go on your way, and that costs like 10 cents.
Oh, all right.
You know?
And so you're in the city then. You're not really out in the suburbs.
No, I was in Bangkok. In the city. There's nothing suburban about it.
All right, and everything is pretty crowded right there.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I think Bangkok has like 8 million people.
Oh man.
Yeah, so it's like New York that
all
way.
All right.
So it's spread out. It's a flat city, at least from what I could see or the areas I saw, and I was not too far from one of the major freeways to go downtown. I was like three blocks from one of the main Thai kickboxing stadiums, and they were thrown down every weekend. Trust me on that. I never went. I wish I had now, but like you knew where that stadium was, because it was like when there was a fight and somebody got hit, you'd hear it, feel the roar. You know, and of course, you know, all your chains were there, even though it didn't taste the same because the ingredients are different, or there's a different source overseas. Mayonnaise really didn't taste like mayonnaise, but there was a Burger King, there's a McDonald's, and, you know, when I was feeling lazy and needed a quick bite, I'd go grab one of those. But at night, having dinner, when I'd actually have a little time to be adventurous, we'd go find something different.
And what was some of the foods that you found?
Well, there were at the guest house up and around for me, you know, because I love Thai food. I love spicy food. And I've had Thai food here. You know, there's two or three local Thai spots that are kind of okay. they can't begin to compare over there. And I suspect it's because, you know, it's local ingredients and they just run right out in the backyard and they grab their lemongrass and they pick their Thai basil and they grab this and that. It was like, I had some tom kha gai soup over there, which is a spicy coconut milk with chicken with red chilies, with hot chilies.
Sounds delicious.
Oh. I mean, I've had it here, and there are two or three places here that kind of do it all right. Man, if people only knew.
Right.
So, you know, I did a Thai dish. There was a soup joint around the corner for me, and even though I tried to be friendly with the young, beautiful young ladies who would serve me all the time. Oh, that's the other thing. The service people, most of the service staff, at least in that area, they can speak some English. Okay, so, you know, if they can speak enough to get by. So I'd always go in and I'd tease them, hey, you know, how you doing? You can come back with me, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Well, one day I said, hey, I want the soup and I want it spicy this time.
Wrong word. Huh?
Apparently they believed what I said because they hooked me up.
Uh-oh.
And it definitely was spicy. I felt it twice.
Oh, twice.
Burned me twice. That's all I'm going to say.
Were you able to taste the food?
I know sometimes
you taste
food is so hot.
Sometimes it's difficult to taste it. You lose your taste buds.
Well, no. It was quite delicious. It was good. Over time, it caught up with me.
All right.
I did leave one unfinished bowl of Thai soup over there, but everything else was delicious. I have been advised, and I have it on good authority, that most people who will listen to a podcast such as this prefer to listen to it on the drive to or from work. And that means that I have maybe 20 minutes on average. Since I don't wish to violate that rule or dominate your time, we're going to pause this interview at this point. And we'll pick it up again for episode 4.
Kokujin Chronicles is recorded, edited, and mixed with free open source software in Ubuntu Studio. This episode was mastered April 16, 2011. Music featured in this episode comes from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. Until next time, peace, love, and harmony.